Thank you all for joining us on tonight's phonecast. I'm Paul Stinas. I'm the Vice President for Enrollment and the Dean of Admission. I'm actually the person who signed the letter offering your student admission to Knox College. We look forward to hearing from parents all across the country tonight. If you'd like to ask a question, simply press *3 on your keypad. It's like raising your hand. It won't interrupt us, but it will let us know that you have a question. And as you're formulating your questions and submitting them, I'd like to ask Knox College President Teresa Amott to say a few words of welcome.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you to everybody joining us tonight. April's a very consequential month for families with college-bound children. You know that very well. Some of your students have already made up their minds, and a few of them may even have shared that information with you. The rest of you may be getting up every single day, looking carefully for a sign that the decision has been made. And for you, you know that the most important thing at the end of the day, no matter where your student chooses to go, is that you affirm and support them in that decision and make them know that they've made the right decision and you are behind them 100%. And that's the reason we're here tonight, because we want to ensure that you have all the information that you have to support your student in that very important decision. Obviously, your student could earn a degree at thousands of colleges and universities, but you're on this call tonight because you want them to get something more ambitious than just a degree. You want them to have an education. You know we live in a time of rapid technological and global change, so you want them an education that prepares them for competitive graduate programs, for a successful career of meaningful work, and for a life of leadership and purpose in this changing world. I am here to tell you that at Knox, we educate students for those purposes, for the 21st century. We prepare them for the jobs of the future, jobs that might not even exist at this point. We focus on nurturing the human skills, critical thinking, creativity, emotional intelligence, and curiosity. Our faculty engage directly with students, both in and out of the classroom. And our students put their knowledge to the test in hands-on applications in real-world situations. They live and learn in a diverse community, a vibrant and exciting community, with students whose lives and stories can be vastly different from their own. And they share across those differences and learn important lessons about life. We like to say that Knox provides a human-powered education. It's one that's uniquely suited, I think, for success in a rapidly evolving world. It will prepare your sons, your daughters, to find success no matter what the future brings. So thank you, again, for joining us tonight. Back to you, Paul.
Well, again, you can ask a question at any time during the call. Simply dial *3 on your keypad to let us know that you have a question. We did actually have some questions that were submitted in advance of tonight's phonecast. The first of those is from Catherine Stern from Los Angeles, California. And her question is, the trimester system, do students find it moves very quickly, and how do they keep up? Mike, would you like to answer that question?
Yeah, hi, this is Mike Schneider, Interim Vice President of Academic Affairs and Dean of the College. The trimester is a bit like a rocket. There's no denying that. But I think what students discover or what students tell us is that they very much enjoy the opportunity to kind of work on one class, turn it over, and try something next the next term. So there are a lot of challenges that go along with the academic trimester. But they are also big fans of it.
Very good. A follow-up question, actually, from Catherine Stern. What the first-year preceptorial? Do they get to put down options for the classes that they're in? And is it a critical thinking class, or is it a reading-writing class, or both?
Yes, so as everyone around here calls first-year preceptorial FP, I apologize if I slip into saying FP, but so first-year preceptorial is very much a kind of critical thinking and learning class, and there are a number of seminars that students can choose from. And during the, in fact, in just a couple of weeks, the entering students will be receiving a form that asks them to list their preferences for among the available choices. So they'll have an opportunity to list their top three choices, but also to indicate one that they don't maybe want to choose.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We've got a call from George in Corona, California. George?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
My question is basically this. First of all, I want to thank all of you for holding this conference call. This is very informative and greatly appreciated. My question really is a real simple one, and that is, will we be able to listen to this broadcast or this conference call at a later time? My wife is traveling, and I know she was very interested in hearing all of the information that was going to be imparted today.
Go ahead. Yeah, George, that's a terrific question. In fact, we are going to be sending out an email with a link to the phone cast so that you can listen to it or share it with other members of your family. So that'll be going out in the next few days. And thank you for your comment. Our next call comes from Drina in Kent, Washington. And Drina, you're on the phone live.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, my son is coming from Seattle, and he's toured a lot of the schools that he's been accepted at all along the East Coast, and one of the top things that they like to tout is all the amazing connections they have up and down the East Coast and their close proximity to opportunities outside the classroom, including internships. And Knox, we loved, he had an amazing Admitted Students Day with great outreach from the staff, the administrators, and specifically the teachers there. But my concern is it's isolated, and we're wondering about the opportunity for learning outside of the classroom and connecting with internships being somewhat more rural compared to some of the more coastal states and colleges. So if you could talk about the internship opportunities and the connections that Knox has, specifically maybe around the business or computer science majors.
Ann, did you want to answer that?
Sure. Just to introduce myself, I'm Ann Ehrlich. I'm the Vice President for Student Development, and I oversee the Career Center, among other areas, including housing and counseling and health services and a number of other areas that support the student experience. Internships are, as you said, a critical part of your students' experience and a big focus of our work in both the Career Center and the Alumni Relations Office. So we had over 250 students participate in internships last year, some locally here in Galesburg, some in New York at Goldman Sachs, and many in the Chicago area, which is very easily accessible to our students by train. A group of students just got back from our business immersion trip where they got to shadow and connect with alumni from Knox that are very successful leaders of industry in the Chicago area. So that's a start to answering your question, and I think our president wanted to add on to that.
I spent most of my career on the East Coast, so I can appreciate your question. One thing I would mention is that our alumni are all over the country. There is a pretty substantial group of alumni in Chicago, second largest city in the country, and they have been very instrumental in helping us develop just a wealth of internships in Chicago. But we also have alumni in New York City, in Washington, in fewer in the South, to be candid, many in Boston, and also on the West Coast as well. So all the way up and down, Portland, Seattle, L.A., San Francisco, et cetera. And then some in the middle. So we have alumni at the Mayo Clinic, for example. We have alumni working in law firms in Dallas or Houston. So what you really need to look at is what are the strength of our connections to our alumni and where are they? And they are all over the country.
And if I can, this is Anne again, if I can add one more thing, we do recognize that because students will be doing internships, not necessarily when they can live on campus here in Galesburg or at home, our Power of Experience grants, the $2,000 that each incoming student gets to support an experiential learning opportunity, does cover a stipend for a student to use to live off of while they are doing an internship during the summer or during the winter break, potentially away from Knox or away from home. And that stipend or that Power Experience grant can also be used to support study abroad, research, or community engagement activities.
Okay, our next call comes from Christy, calling from New Mexico. And Christy has a question about student athletes.
Hi, good evening. My question is what provisions the college takes or what support services you might have for your student athletes, particularly those transitioning newly from high schools on semester-based systems and coming to the more rigorous college environment on trimesters.
I'm happy to answer that. This is Teresa. We are a Division III school, which means that we promise our student athletes the same experience, the same academic experiences as the non-athletes. We strive to integrate athletics and the academic program in a way that's pretty seamless. So the student athletes will come early. They will meet their teammates, they will meet their coaches, and they will begin their orientation. But they will be integrated into the traditional student orientation, and they will receive exactly the same support services that other students will receive. Faculty here are very supportive of the student-athlete experience. They receive the schedules, the competition schedules, in advance of the year, and they know that students might potentially be missing a class for travel or for a competition. So what I would encourage you to think about is the way in which your student will have a dual experience, a student-athlete experience, which is both as a student and an athlete, and the integration between the two is really a hallmark of our Division III experience.
Hi, this is Mike Schneider again, Dean of the College, and I'm also a professor of history. And one thing I can say from the faculty perspective is that we're involved in the entire student experience. Yes, we meet them in the classroom, but we're also very eager to understand their total educational experience. We go to the games, we sit up close, and we get to see each other. So I think there's an ongoing conversation between faculty and students throughout the academic term and all the experiences they're involved in, but certainly for student athletes to make sure they're having a kind of fully integrated and successfully integrated experience.
Okay. Deborah from Denver, Colorado has a question for us this evening. Deborah?
Hi, I do. I actually had several. I forgot my first question because I'm listening and I hear so many other great things. I want to ask questions. I'm particularly interested in how are you supporting campus safety, the cultural aspect of the campus, and making sure that your studies, I guess, have a broad base of perspectives that students can access. Anne,
well, this is
how are you? This is okay. Go ahead.
There was a lot in there, so I'm
right now.
I'm going to start with the campus safety question because that's very important, and I think a lot of parents have questions about that. So I'm going to share a little bit about what we do in terms of campus safety, and then Mary, our parent who is on the line, I think maybe can add in about how she feels having a daughter on campus. So we have an unsworn campus safety patrol. They are not armed. They're a 24/7, 365 operation. They are here all the time with our students, and they are walking around. They have a marked vehicle. Students, I think, feel comfortable calling them when they want an escort or when they see something that doesn't seem right. Our students are very vocal about pointing those things out. We have a campus alert system. If there's something that we think that students and their families, your student can sign you up for our campus alert system also. need to be aware of. We send out emails, text messages, or phone calls, depending on the nature of the incident. We have, I think, what you would call all the best practices of a college, safety lights, emergency phones, all those sorts of things. So Mary, our parent in California, I'm wondering if you wanted to add in what your experience or your daughter's experience has been.
Sure. Thanks, Ann. Hi, everyone. Mary Newman, mother of a junior daughter from Marin County. I have to say that was one of the more important questions that I was concerned with when first considering Knox as a destination for my daughter. And I can echo basically the things that Ann has said is that there are many services available. My daughter feels very comfortable walking on campus and even downtown. It's a very safe area. And there are escort services that you can, if your student is nervous studying late at night at the library, if they want escort to their dorm or to wherever their housing is, that can be arranged pretty quickly. And the police and fire departments are right around the corner, basically, from the Knox campus. So my daughter has felt very secure in her time there. And there are also various ways to get in touch with campus safety should that need to happen.
Deborah, did that answer your questions? Did you have another
one?
Yes.
I'm loaded with questions. And as you're talking about safety, that is good to hear. I am curious about, sororities, fraternities, sexual assaults on campus by students. I'm in Denver, Colorado, where, CU Boulder it struggles with some of those issues. So I was really curious about how you're dealing with even drinking on the campus. Those things are, I want to know how you all handle issues like that.
I would say proactively would be the word that I would start with. We talk about alcohol, drug use, respect, harassment, consent incessantly on this campus. And some of the feedback we get after orientation is that we talk about it too much, and we consider that a good thing. So you will start getting communications from us, perhaps you already have. One of the communications that your student will get over the summer is actually two online courses that they have to take before they come to campus. And one is about alcohol and drug use, and one is about consent in relationships and sexual assault and the intersection of alcohol with those things. So they're going to start thinking about those things and hopefully talking with you over the summer. They're going to come to campus, and they're going to talk about it with their peers and with staff at orientation, and then they're going to keep talking about it for 4 years. So we do have Greek life on campus. This is my fourth institution. I will say they have parties, but they are well-regulated parties. There are is a lot of communication that happens between fraternities and sororities and the staff in my office and campus safety before they happen. Does that mean alcohol is not at those parties or at unregistered parties? No, that's not what that means. But I think we're really aware of what's going on in the Greek houses. We're talking with them a lot. They do not want to have the reputation that some of the Greek programs have at some of those schools that you're referring to. They work really hard to achieve that goal.
So, again, if you can ask a question at any time during the call. To ask a question, all you need to do is press *3 on your keypad to let us know that you have a question. We do have the opportunity tonight to do a couple of polls, and I'd like to go ahead and do the first poll question at this point in time. And the poll question tonight is, if you or your student has already visited campus, if you or your student have already visited campus, please press 1. If you're planning to visit campus, please press 2. If you've not visited campus and you don't plan to visit, please press 3. Again, if you've already visited campus, press 1. If you have a planned visit, press 2. And if you have not been able to visit and don't plan to visit, please press 3. Then I'd like to go to Rick from North Hollywood, California, who has a question about where students tend to live on campus.
Yeah, I was wondering about the population and if most of the students do live on campus in on-campus housing or if they commute to the school. It was a question I had, and I also have another one after that.
Sure. This is Anne, and I'd be happy to answer that. So as a residential liberal arts college, we do want our students to live on campus with us for 4 years if possible. There's a lot of learning that happens outside of the classroom, and so we're very interested in our students being engaged in our on-campus residence halls. So first-year students all live in suites. That's about 10 to 18 first-year students in either single or double rooms that share a bathroom and a living space. And they also have an upper-class resident assistant that lives right there in the suite with them. The suites are really, I think, the ideal living environment to help students transition to both living away from home and to living in a community with people different from themselves. So we take a lot of care to try to pair up first-year roommates with people that they're going to be compatible with, that maybe have some of the same sleep habits and tidiness habits. But then we try very hard to put them in suites with people that are very different from themselves. So a typical suite at Knox might have a student, a couple of international students, a couple of students from Illinois, and students from all over the country, like North Hollywood, California. And we find that having both the comfort of a roommate that they're kind of familiar with and kind of like, coupled with students that are really different from themselves in the larger suite is a great combination for both students feeling at ease and challenged outside of their comfort zones to grow. As students move on, we have suites available for them, but we also have houses and apartments on campus that help them transition into a more independent type of living environment. We do have some seniors who live off of campus, but that's not typical.
Very good. And then the second part of my question was, you had mentioned that you're educating these students for the 21st century. So when we were in college, most of us on the phone used typewriters. The internet didn't exist. Obviously, we live in a digital age. I'm wondering about like majors like computer science and things like that. How do those translate into real world jobs and good paying jobs?
We're fighting over who gets to answer that question.
Let me say something generally about educate. This is Mike Schneider again, Dean of the College, about how we educate students generally for the 21st century, and we do it in a couple of different ways. So one way is that students are required to study at least two different fields. So they have to, in a sense, make connections and see connections across academic fields, and that is some of the best preparation for a world in which they're going to be experiencing sort of multiple different careers. So sometimes the best ways students are prepared is the unique combinations they make. And so students do things like business and art, physics and dance. That is to say, these combinations speak to, you know, any number of different job possibilities in the future. The other thing that we do is our explicit emphasis on active learning opportunities, so-called immersion learning experiences, where students take what they've learned in the classroom and connect them to out-of-the-classroom experiences. Again, seeing the kind of relevance of what they're doing in a classroom setting for all kinds of different situations. Those are the skills they're going to need for kind of lifelong learning, seeing the connections between academic or scholastic work and applied opportunities. And we have a long list of these type of immersion opportunities that I could speak about, but it's in this way that a 21st century education is really about the variety of the liberal arts and seeing connections among them.
I'll give you one example of those immersion programs. One of them is called Startup Term. And Startup Term is a collaboration between our business program and our computer science program. Interesting that you mentioned that. And they work in teams to develop a product that's a software product. They develop a business plan. They develop a marketing plan. Last year, one of the teams actually successfully transitioned what was a class project, an immersion term project, out into the real world, because they've developed an app that I guess I would describe as an Expedia for private jets, so that you can go online and find a private jet and shop, comparison shop. Have not actually availed myself of that app myself, but it shows, I think, this interesting combination of the hands-on skills and the 21st century opportunities.
One of the NOC staff persons that we have available tonight is Lee Brinson, our Director of Financial Aid, and we have a financial aid question coming from Philomena in Mount Prospect, Illinois. Philomena?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead. Hello, Philomena, did you have a question about financial aid?
Yeah, I did ask actually about the financial aid, about my son. And we applied actually, my daughter also was, this is my second son, kid coming to the NOC. So when I applied, I expected more financial aid than what my daughter got it, but I didn't get it what I expected. So that was my question.
So, Lee, is there a particular reason why some students might receive more financial aid than others? How do we make those determinations?
Sure. Again, my name is Lee Brinson. I'm the Director of Financial Aid. And I kind of look at financial aid as a fingerprint. Everybody's situation is different, from family income to members in the household and members in college. So there's a variety of different packages that students receive. We offer a lot of different NOC scholarships, which are based on academic achievements, special talents, leadership, or service. And one great thing about these is they're renewable for 4 years. You can count on those as part of your 4-year financial aid plan. Most scholarships simply require your student to remain in good academic standing, receiving a 2.0 or a C average to continue to receiving those scholarships. To continue receiving need-based financial aid, which is based on typically the FAFSA that you complete, you must complete that every year. And typically we find if a family's financial situation remains similar from year to year, you can typically expect to see the similar financial aid award each year. Does that answer your question?
We no longer have her on the line, but we do have another question related to financial aid and scholarships and study abroad from Bethany Wells in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Bethany?
Yes, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having this. This is very informative. I'm concerned because my daughter wants to travel abroad, and we have scholarship and financial aid, and I wanted to know if any of that is applicable to a program where she travels overseas, or we just be limited to the $2,000 gift that each freshman gets from the college.
No, one wonderful thing about NOC is that we work with those different programs, and our financial aid is transferable to study abroad programs, so you can count on those dollars.
And I would just add that we do have a pre-approved list of study abroad programs where students can, in a sense, transparently and easily take their financial aid with them. But our policies are quite generous in this regard. If there's a program that's not on that pre-approved list, students can apply to get that approved. And those programs also are frequently approved, and sometimes a student-selected program ends up on the pre-approved list. So our policies are designed to ensure equal access to all students for study abroad programs, and combined with the Power of Experience grant, for example, which can cover the cost of the airline ticket to studying abroad, the cost of studying abroad can be almost identical to being on the NOC campus. And that's very much an institutional commitment about the importance of study abroad for all majors, all students, and all programs.
Very good. Well, I wanted to announce the results of our first polling question of the evening. And the question was, has your student visited the Knox College campus, or do you plan to do so? And what we learned is that 78% of those of you on the line tonight have already visited the Knox College campus, which I think is terrific. About 16% have not yet visited but have plans to visit, and about 6% of you indicated that you haven't visited, nor do you feel like you'll be able to make that visit to campus. And we actually do have a question about visiting campus from Bong Young in St. Louis, Missouri. Bong Young?
Yeah, actually, I'm looking on your online calendar and see that we missed the admitted students weekend. And so I was wondering if there's going to be any other future opportunities later this spring or even into early summer.
Well, you're actually welcome to visit campus at any point along the way. Our academic calendar goes through late May. So you're welcome to come whenever it's convenient for you. You can certainly come to campus and sit in classes, take a tour, meet with professor. And then the other thing that's worth noting is that if it's not possible to visit campus between now and the end of the term, there will be some summer opportunities as well for advising and orientation. Mike, did you want to say something about that?
Yes, so there will be summer advising opportunities on campus. So as students pre-select their course preferences for the fall term, the first of these on-campus weekends, I believe, will be July 21st and 22nd. They say whatever the third weekend of July is, we will have on-campus advising. It's an opportunity for students to see their dorm rooms, of course, see campus, but most importantly, to meet with an academic advisor to talk about the courses they're interested in the fall term. So even if you can't visit before the end of the school year, we hope you have a chance to visit during the summer. And of course, meeting at other times is also a possibility. And it's also, we are also going to be doing summer advising opportunities. Even if you can't visit campus, we'll be doing summer advising up in Chicago the next weekend, the last weekend of July. And we will also have virtual advising where a student can talk to an advisor online. So lots of opportunities for making connections during the summer to prepare for the fall.
Anna from Chicago had another question about advising. Anna, did you want to ask your question?
This is somewhat related, so there may be some overlap, but my question is about guidance that might be available for students who have interest in diverse fields and perhaps lack a direction in terms of focus study and come into school undecided.
I'm going to let Mike answer that question, but I just have to jump in here as someone who spent many, many years in small liberal arts colleges, and I have to tell you that we specialize in the wholly undecided. This is like catnip for faculty because they love the openness that students who have not yet decided bring to the conversation. So this is really, you should not feel as though you need to be defensive about this at all. This is something that we really welcome and appreciate about students at this stage of their lives.
Yes, and just to reiterate the point, the academic program is designed for people who maybe don't know exactly which direction they're headed initially. If you think about the total academic experience at Knox, students usually take about one-third of their courses in their major, one-third in courses that are outside of the major but are required, sort of general education requirements, a minor. But then one-third of the courses is completely open. So from our perspective, then, the most important relationship that students are likely to have, or one of the most important relationships when they get to campus, is with their academic advisor. And that's why it's the first person they meet after the welcome session in the fall. And throughout the summer, I mentioned the academic advising opportunities, but students meet their academic advisor first and begin the process of just getting to know what some of the academic and personal goals are for students. And so it's not unusual for students to the first year to be taking all kinds of different courses that allow them to explore different interests to finally find out where they want to go. And I would just say, at a personal note, I'm someone who didn't know where he was going to end up. I started out in chemistry, switched over to British history, and ended up as a Japan specialist. So there's a long time. We have enough time to get there.
Okay. David from Memphis, Tennessee, you had a question about academics as well. David?
I was wondering if a student is struggling academically, what things do you have in place to assist them, to help them succeed, and keep them from falling through the cracks?
So that connection with the academic advisor on the first day is the first step in 4 years of academic support. We are constantly aware of students' academic progress. So one of the things we advertise at a small liberal arts college is that classes are small. Well, what that means is no one can just sort of disappear. Faculty are very attentive to who's in class. If people are not showing up, we track them down and find out what might be going on that would stop them from making it to class. The advisors and the faculty members in the classes are in some ways some of the first to identify student problems, but also resident assistants and other people at work that students might come in contact with. But from that, we take students, we offer students all kinds of different academic support to ensure that no matter what their sort of learning style is, what particular needs they would have, that we're addressing them in some important way. So if a student is struggling with writing, or there's a Center for Teaching and Learning that emphasizes a lot of writing instruction, if students need tutoring at night on math problems or Japanese language, there's a tutoring center right in the middle of the library, right in the middle of campus, that students can go to. And if students need support of other sorts, either for disability support, accommodations for different learning styles, or just feeling a certain amount of stress, we will make sure that through the academic advisors and through the various associate deans and dean of students that we find the right support for each student.
Okay, Krista from Orange County, California, had a question about study abroad. Krista?
Yes, so you guys had kind of already gone through some of the study abroad, but how, for student athletes, are they still allowed to participate in study abroad programs as well? And are there any other restrictions to study abroad programs?
To answer your second question first, there are not many restrictions worth mentioning. I think we have, again, some of the most liberal small L policies there in trying to encourage study abroad. Student athletes, again, it's that conversation that academic advisors have very early on. Okay, what is your sport or sports? When are you going to be in season? And then we can begin the opportunity, the pathway of deciding, okay, what are the interests that you want to satisfy through the study abroad experience, so we can find study abroad. So there was a question way at the beginning of this session about working with a trimester system. And a trimester system is definitely odd, but one of its benefits is it's really great for student athletes to do study abroad, because it's much easier for them to divide the entire academic year into a one-third sliver, and then it's easier for us to find a program that really is truly off-season for a student athlete. So that's one of the ways in which the trimester system provides flexibility that's very beneficial to have students having a variety of experiences.
And I could just follow up to say that the coaches at Knox very much recognize the importance to their players of having study abroad experiences. So they do not in any way prevent they hold harmless the students for their experience. They're not you might see in other institutions, particularly in Division I, where there's an outright prohibition. I would say in our environment, there's actual support for student athletes to take advantage of these experiences.
So again, if anyone has a question they'd like to ask tonight, you can press *3 on your keypad to let us know that you have a question. Paige Singleton has a question. Paige, question about health services.
Yeah, hi, thank you. I just wanted to hear more about the health services offered there. When we were on our tour, I realized afterwards that was one place we didn't go through, and I just wanted to hear more about it, being from far away, you know, California, I just have some concern about, you know, when if my student were to get sick or, you know, sick at night, you know, what are the different steps that he would take? What kind of services are there?
Well, we didn't take you there on the tour because we didn't want you to get sick, being exposed to all of the germs, so that was strategic. So we do have a health services clinic on campus that is staffed by a nurse practitioner and a registered nurse as well as a receptionist. That is operated by one of the two hospitals that we have just a few blocks away from campus. So students can walk in there at no cost for any basic services that they might walk into a clinic for, like triage of a basic illness, sports injury, or that kind of a thing. And they'll get most of those issues treated right on campus. We have a number of pharmacies right around campus where they can get prescriptions filled. We provide taxi service at no cost to the student to get to the pharmacy or to urgent care if necessary or to an off-campus doctor's appointment if there's something more in-depth that they need. After hours, we have an arrangement with that hospital that students can go to their prompt care at a very, very, very low cost. That's a special rate just for Knox College students. And again, they can take a taxi there or our campus safety. I read all the campus safety reports that come in, and many are of them are a student who maybe wasn't feeling well in the middle of the night. Campus safety came out and helped them figure out if they needed to go to prompt care or if they needed to go to the emergency room. Campus safety facilitated that for them. And we generally send one of our staff members along with them so they're not sitting in the waiting room after hours by themselves. Does that answer your question?
Okay. We would like to actually proceed with our second polling question of the evening. And this particular polling question has to do with where Knox fits into your choices of colleges for your son or daughter. So if Knox at this point is your student's top choice, press 1. If Knox is in the top 2 choices, press 2. If Knox is among the top 3, plus 3. And if Knox is among the top 4 or more of your options, please press 4. And we'll give you the results of the polling question shortly. At this point, I'd like to go to Catherine from Toluca Lake, California, who has a question about what students do off campus. Catherine?
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for answering my two questions right off the bat, and thank you for holding this. And everybody else's questions have been really helpful for me as well. So my question is also about do the kids go into town? I noticed when I was there that it seems very close by and maybe even walkable. Do they go to the restaurants or maybe, you know, to a movie or something like that? And the second part of that is how do they use like an outlying area? I know Chicago is about 3 hours away, but do they sometimes go into Chicago for something like a game or something like that? So that's kind of a social thing. And then the third part of this question is, in addition to study abroad, is there any semester program? I guess it's kind of like an internship question, but it might be more of a study question where they might use the city of Chicago for like a study abroad program, but within the United States. So they might study in Chicago for a semester.
Addressing the first two questions, Mary, would you like to talk about what Emma's experiences have been outside of campus in terms of going into Galesburg or going into Chicago or Peoria or the Quad Cities?
Sure. Emma didn't have a car for her first 2 years of her life at Knox, so her geographic area was limited to downtown primarily or getting rides to the shopping centers to go shopping. I do know that she walks frequently to the restaurants and little coffee things downtown. And also she has hitched rides to go out to the more the shopping areas. She's also gone with friends by train up to Chicago for a weekend. But mostly it's actually time spent on campus, and there's plenty to do within the confines of Knox or just around the area. She's also got a job. She started to want to earn her own money to get some spending money, more than what we were providing, and she's ventured into town to get a job. And also she does attend some community-based meetings that she feels drawn to with her anthro-soc major. Hope that answers your question.
And to address the question about off-campus study that's in the United States, and you caught us there, we say study abroad, but we also know we have robust programs that are inside the United States that are very much important to our students. So we have two in Chicago, one that's called the Chicago program that's about life in the city. There's a specific program in the Newberry Library that's a kind of a research, humanities-based research program. The Newberry Library is a fabulous research library that we have a great connection to in Chicago. There is a very popular program given our students' political interests in Washington, D.C., and again, all of these programs, students can take their financial aid with them. And then even things like the Sea Semester program for students who are interested in kind of marine biology. There's a program that goes out of Woods Hole and they float around the Atlantic Ocean. So in we also have short-term programs that also try to take advantage of the city, our local area, and we're developing kind of more of these all the time. So in these various ways, we try to take advantage of, being near the largest river in the United States and these largest freshwater lakes, we have a lot of diversity in this area that we can take advantage of. And, of course, Chicago being so close is a great learning environment. And many classes use it in lots of different ways for educational purposes.
I would just add to that the 14 colleges of the Associated Colleges of the Midwest have a building in Chicago, and we are very interested in developing more programs for our students that would be internship-based, for example, and that would be at the major cultural institutions in Chicago, as well as businesses and civic affairs and civic institutions. And I think you'll see more of those programs rolling out over the next year or two.
Just to give you some sense of the poll results, question was about where does Knox fit in terms of the mix of colleges at this point. 34% of you on the line tonight indicated that Knox is the first choice. 39% indicated that Knox is among the top two choices. 16% indicated that Knox is among the top three. And 11% of you will be having a lot of conversations, I suspect, in the coming weeks because you still have four or more schools on your list. Knox is among four or more schools on your list that you're still deciding among. So that's the results of the second poll tonight. We do have a question about business and the study of business at Knox College from Steve in St. Paul, Minnesota. Steve?
Hello there. I have a basic two questions. The first one is I've heard that you have a minor in international business that might turn into a major, and I was wondering if you could tell me if you know when that might turn into a major. And if you want the second question right now, that's if you could give me an idea of the success of your students when they try for postgraduate work. How many of your students that apply to say, become a lawyer or go into some other postgraduate degree, what kind of success rates do you have on that?
Well, on the second question, I'll just mention that liberal arts college students are very successful because they bring a lot of skills to graduate programs, and about 60% of our students who decide to go on for graduate study do so within 5 years of graduating. So it's quite, I don't want to say an easy pathway, because the path into graduate school is never easy, but the training we give certainly does give students a real leg up in that application process. To go back then to your first question about the business program, yes, I can tell you something about it, which is to say that the conversations are moving ahead very quickly. There are meetings all last week, and frankly, there was a meeting earlier today that I didn't get a chance to attend, but I think what this means is that the faculty committee that's been working on the new business major is eager to propose it. There's an internal proposal process, eager to propose it over the next couple weeks. It would have to come up for a vote at the faculty. And at the very latest, I think this is something that's likely to be approved by the faculty in the fall. But I would put that at the latest. I think it's likely to happen sooner than that. So this has been something that has been a very long, ongoing conversation. And I think a certain amount of energy around the program has developed, and it's likely to be completed, in part because our students are quite creative. They're connecting things to already their business minor, and they have, in a sense, inspired the faculty in many ways about the unique combinations that students make and the way they see the world as being connected between business, their entrepreneurial instincts, their creativity, but then taking their knowledge from the classroom and connecting it with those interests.
All right, thank you, Mike. We have a question about coming to Knox with advanced college credit from Sindhu in Windsor, Colorado. Sindhu?
Yeah, hi. So I was wondering if it was possible to graduate in 3 years if you came in with 30 credits or more from the IB program?
Yeah. The short answer is yes. In that first meeting or first meetings with the academic advisor, and this is something that can even happen during the summer, the academic advisor can chart a plan so that the student satisfies all the sort of graduation requirements within a certain window based on those credits. Those credits are likely to be, they may not count toward a specific kind of not general Knox education credit, but they might certainly satisfy, for example, a major requirement or something like that. So it's very important that transcripts be submitted, early on, so that as early as possible, so that an academic advisor can look it over and then work with your student to understand an academic plan that fits within that time frame.
And this is Paul. I might just add that as well, Knox recognizes the International Baccalaureate Diploma. So if, in fact, you graduate from high school with an International Baccalaureate Diploma with a combined score of 30 or higher, we'll guarantee you a full year's worth of credit coming into Knox. And similarly, if you've completed a large number of advanced placement courses, AP courses, you can come into Knox potentially with a full year's worth of academic credit already under your belt. We have time for, I think, one more question, but I do want to mention that if for some reason you didn't have a chance to get your question answered today, or if you have a new one, there will be an opportunity after the call tonight to be able to remain on the line and leave us a voicemail. And if you have a question that didn't get answered tonight, we will be following up with you over the course of the next day or two. Members of the admission counseling staff and I will get back to you and we'll answer all of your questions. So again, if you have a question that hasn't been answered, we will certainly do that. And if you have a question you haven't had a chance to ask yet, remain on the line at the end of the call and you can leave us a voicemail. So our final question tonight comes from Michael in Algonquin, Illinois. And the question has to do with our new Bachelor of Science degree program. Michael?
Yes. Hello. Thanks for taking our call, and it's great to be the last question, I guess. So our main question is, can you tell us a little bit more about the new Bachelor of Science degree and how that differs from the Bachelor of Arts?
Sure, and I do want to say that you're in Algonquin, Illinois, so I know you're experiencing the same weather that we are here in Galesburg, unlike everyone else who I've been hearing from who's in California, New Mexico, and other wonderful places. But the Bachelor of Science degree, as you may know, is our newest academic program. In fact, the 9th of our 9 Bachelor of Science degrees was approved just about a week and a half ago in environmental sciences. But the 9 Bachelor of Science majors are in biochemistry, biology, chemistry, computer science, neuroscience, psychology, environmental sciences, I mentioned, math, and physics. Those Bachelor of Science degrees, generally speaking, require 4 additional credits beyond a Bachelor of Arts degree. For many students, the Bachelor of Science is a kind of a natural progression from the things that they're doing. So, for example, if they're doing a Bachelor of Science in chemistry, but they already are planning to do some advanced work, this is sort of recognizes the path that they're very likely to be on. Again, it's entirely a basic Bachelor of Arts degree is mostly 12 credits, as I mentioned before, so 16 is not a huge amount extra. It's really more the sense of coordination and the preparation. Why am I doing this Bachelor of Science, and what does it contribute to kind of my longer-term professional and graduate school goals? So it's a really neat program. The first students who will be able to do it will be starting this fall, and we're really excited to roll this out.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And I want to thank you again for all of the wonderful questions. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us tonight. Thanks for calling in and being a part of this call. We will be sending an email with a link to a recording of tonight's phonecast so you can listen again or you can share with other members of your family. And as you and your student make your final decisions in the coming days, you might have additional questions, so don't hesitate to contact your admission counselor in the Office of Admission. All of us are here to help. And once you do make a final decision, just a reminder to submit your enrollment deposit to secure your student space in the fall class. And that's also the time in which you should be letting other colleges and universities to which your son or daughter has been admitted that you won't be enrolling there. So you can submit your enrollment deposit anytime on our website at knox.edu/yes. So we hope that we'll see many of you here on campus in the fall. But for now, I want to wish you the best in making your final decisions, and I'll say good night from Galesburg, Illinois. Good night from Knox College. Have a good evening.